Choice Tunes every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2pm, with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to Choice Tunes. Now, we know the idea of the show. We invite somebody in, we ask them a bit about their life, and then we try to, or we find out what music has played a part of their life. Now, the lady I've got in front of me, and is a lady, you may not know her. If you live around Hillsville, you probably do, but you've certainly heard her ads on Yarra Valley FM, and it's Nicole Slingsby. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you, Alan. Good to be here.
It's great to have you along. Right, Nicole, we know at the moment you're running a will service, and we'll get to that quite a bit later. But so first of all, we need to know a little bit about Nicole. Where were you born, Nicole?
East Bentley, or Bentley East as it's now called.
Is it?
Yes, grew up there.
Yeah, and I was going to say, how long were you there?
Well, I grew up there until I left home. So we lived in the same family home, one of those unusual families that doesn't move anywhere in the suburbs.
Yep.
But it wasn't quite the suburbs as it is today. We had horse paddocks over the back fence, and it gave us a little taste of country living.
Without getting too close, whereabouts in East Bentley?
It was called South Oakley back then, but it had been... The boundaries had realigned since then. So up near Warrigal Centre Road, that type of area.
Oh, yeah. So somewhere like when you're talking about the horses, you were talking about in, say, where the Australia Post is or the Astor Building or all that sort of stuff. Is that what you're talking about?
No, there's near that main corner, there were a section of horse paddocks with an old reservoir.
Near the corner of which roads?
Centre and Warrigal Road.
Centre and Warrigal Road.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, okay.
And then at what age did you move out of home?
I moved out with some friends when I was young.
Yep.
And
into a shared house?
Into a shared house, of course.
Yep.
The dreaded shared house where you learn that it's such a treasure to be able to live alone.
Yep.
So that's what you strive for then. And enjoyed in those years hanging out with the horses in the horse paddocks. And we had ponies and rode around the suburbs and had a pretty darn good life for people in the suburbs.
Sounds pretty good. All right, Nicole, so you, before you left to go out from home, did you have any part-time jobs when you were at home?
Yes. I had an unpaid part-time job, and that was mucking out the stables and the loose boxes at the local horse riding school, all to get a free ride at the end of the day. That was my first unpaid job. My first paid job would have been the paper round.
Paper round?
Yes.
On the
good
bike?
Good old paper round on the bike.
In the morning or afternoon? Because there were two papers then, weren't there?
Yeah, well, it wasn't the Herald Sun. It was the, or the daily papers. It was the weekly. So it would take me 2 days.
Yep.
And I'd have the big crate on the front of my bike and struggle along. And as you get further along, it got lighter and it wasn't so bad. You forgot how bad it was by the next day.
So... pardon me. All right, so we don't worry about school because everybody went to school, various things. So after that, what was your first full-time paid job doing?
Yeah. I was a gardener and I worked for Moorabbin City Council as my first full-time job.
I remember Moorabbin City Council, yeah.
Yep. And then I graduated to working on the tree gang, which was... tree lopping with a chainsaw, believe it or not.
Yeah.
That was my job.
Yeah.
And I did that for a period of 4 years, so I did an apprenticeship.
Yeah. And back in those days, you'd have to do a lot of climbing, wouldn't you? Like, you wouldn't have the same amount of equipment as they do now, would you?
Oh, we actually had a cherry picker. So used to go along with the cherry picker and chainsaw the trees back from the power lines.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good job, but after a while, I was thinking about finding my own passion,
so
learning about something
what
different.
What was your next job?
Well, I went back to uni and I studied health science, human science, and then worked for a pharmaceutical company next, selling drugs to doctors and telling them about
the
research.
The manufacturer and calling on doctors and all that.
That's right. So that was a fun job. Good for a young person.
Yep. And did you do country as well?
I did actually, out in the west. So I would go up to Ballarat and Geelong and some little towns in between. And it was nice. Lots of travel involved though. Yep.
So what did you do next?
Next, after working there for a while, I met and settled down, met a partner, settled down and had children.
Yep.
And then stayed at home with my children. I was lucky enough to be able to do that.
Yep.
And I stayed at home for the next 13 years.
That's all right. Yep.
Working at home on a small hobby farm.
Yep.
And raising
the kids. What area was it, hobby farm?
Yeah, that was in Warrenwood. So
which is now all built in almost. Yeah.
It is.
All right, so then you've had 13 years off.
Yes.
And then what did you do?
Well, that's it. Then what do you do? What do you do? Do you go back and jump into an old position or an old career that you need to reignite, or do you look at something new? So I decided to look at something new.
Yeah,
and
which was?
That was doing a law degree. And
gee, that's a big choice, because by now you've got how many children?
Three.
So you've got three children. Mm-hmm. You've been out of work. Well, not out of work.
Yes.
I mean, let's not put housework down. But you haven't
especially
had
on International Women's Day.
I know. Yeah. And I didn't mean it like that. But what I mean is you haven't had the routine of work.
Yes.
And so after 13 years of being a mum, it's a big call to then go off and do a degree at the same time as looking after children.
It is. But you know what? It was such a gift to myself.
Yep.
It was a gift because it was just for me.
And you probably didn't realise how hard it was at that time either.
No, I don't think anyone realises when they embark upon a journey like that. How hard can it be?
All right, Nicole, we'll start with a bit of music. You've got The Fighter, Keith Urban. Why did you pick that?
I picked that song because it reminds me of my beautiful husband and our happy life now, because he's always in my corner.
Sounds good to me. Let's play it.
Just let me show you. What if I fall? I won't let you fall. What if I cry? And if I get scared? I'll hold you tighter when they try to get
Nicole, as a mum and you're still looking after three small children, you decide to go back to uni. What, first of all, what course did you choose and why did you choose that course?
Are you talking about when I did my law degree?
Yeah, when you've gone back as a mum after 13
after
years.
After that, So I chose law because I'd had some dealings with a solicitor. And I thought, wow, they really helped me a lot.
I thought he was going to say he made plenty of money out of me.
And this as well. So, gee, they do quite well, don't they? Mind you, not all of them do. It depends exactly what you do, I guess.
I'm not here to slag off at lawyers because we had lawyers in a while ago.
But in any case, I thought it would be interesting and I've always enjoyed reading and learning.
Right.
It's the kind of vocation that's cerebral in that sense. You're constantly learning.
Yeah.
And you have to keep
laws
updated.
Are updating all the time, aren't they?
Yeah. It's really important to stay updated.
So when you finish that, well, I mean, you have to do time in legal practices, don't you?
Yes.
Before you can get through. So you just went work for a big legal practice? Or I don't say work for a bit.
Yes.
Put your time in?
Yes. So even before you do that, Alan, you have to work for free for a long time.
Free?
Yes, free. Oh. And you don't really realise as you're going into those sorts of things that that's necessarily the outcome. You have to really want to work as a lawyer to persevere, to be honest.
Right.
You need to do at least 6 months of voluntary work in some capacity or another. And that was really good for me, actually, because I got to work with some really fantastic people.
In the city or just locally?
I did work in the city with Justice Connect in homeless law.
Oh, yeah.
Did some time there and that was great. And then did some voluntary work for a number of different legal firms. They would just set me to work and be able to give me some experience whilst not having to pay me for anything, so it works for everyone. And then finally landed a job in a legal firm not too far away from Healesville.
Right. So what, pardon me, what branch of law did you choose and why did you choose that branch of law?
So initially I worked for a generalist firm and they did bits of everything.
Yep.
And I felt that it was a huge expectation to be able to stay really on top of everything.
Of every sort of law, yeah.
That's right. And I thought, wow, if I just had more time to concentrate on one particular area and learn to be good at that and really feel confident in my knowledge, then that would make me happy.
So what branch did you, what type of part of law did you choose?
I chose wills and estates. After trying a few different areas of law in that generalist firm, there are many areas of law that don't give you much joy to practice in my opinion, because people are possibly at the very worst times in their life, you're not able to help them a great deal. You're just there to mitigate damage in many
cases.
And
you know some of them are going to wind up in jail anyway, don't you?
Well, who knows? but with wills and estates, I felt like I was doing something practical to help people, to put their minds at ease, being able to assist them at difficult times with matters that they aren't ready to deal with at that time.
That's because it's a low time in their life, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But at least I could help in a practical way.
Yep. Cold chisel, flame trees.
Mm.
Why did you pick that one?
That takes me back to horse riding as a kid. Yeah. And I remember doing that in autumn when there's leaves on the ground and the temperatures cooling and seasons are changing, and it was just a good time.
All right, let's play it.
Kids are driving Saturday afternoon, just past me. just a memory to make me cry. And I'm happy just to see you at a table with old friends and see which one of us can tell the biggest lies. And there's a girl.
Nicole Slingsby. Nicole owns a business in Healesville, which we're going to talk about a bit later, but at the moment we're talking about her whole life. All right, back in about 2017 or something, you're qualified, you went into paid work. What was that, Nicole? Was that still just as a generalist in the...
It was, Alan. It was as a generalist and practiced there under supervision of some senior lawyers, which was really great.
In all sorts of law again?
All sorts, yes, that's right. Yeah. It was a great opportunity to learn under supervision and feel comfortable in having people to talk to who had great experience.
So you did start that in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
By about 2.5 years ago, you started your own business.
Mm-hmm.
What, first of all, motivated you to start your own business? Because it is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a family and you know, it is a risk starting a business. What made Nicole sit down one day and say, I want to work for myself?
Mm. I wanted to do things the way that I wanted, like most people that decide to go into business, I think, Alan. Yep. I really felt that I could add something to the service side of things.
Right.
In most scenarios that I've seen in legal firms, when someone calls the legal firm, they speak only to a secretary and the lawyers are guarded and kept in the back room and so that they can continue working.
Yeah.
I decided that I wanted to be available to speak to my clients whenever I wanted to, and that they had the convenience of being able to ask me questions to put their minds at ease when they wanted to.
All right. So what made you then, because as I understand it, your business is mobile.
I have an office.
Do you?
Yeah. But I offer that service.
Oh, right. So people can come. Oh, I misunderstood.
Yes.
People can come to your business and talk business, or you will go out and to them.
That's right.
What made you decide to do that? Was it the fact of service or what?
Service. Service was my first priority, and also taking into account that there are a lot of people in our community who do have mobility issues or don't find travel so easy. Yep. They might not have a car, or they might have other issues, or they might not like to leave their home because of animals or whatever the reason is.
Yep.
They might be too busy and only have a lunch break to be able to get these things
so
done.
So you'd go to wherever they want to
go. I would, yeah, that's right.
Right.
So I just think that service was the main reason.
Tracy Chapman talking about a revolution. Now, this sounds a bit dairy. What brought that on?
That reminds me of during the teenage years when you decide that you're going to be passionate about a cause, discover social injustice and the soapbox, and you're ready to tell everyone your opinion with gusto. And
was this mainly at uni?
This was probably in high school. It was what prompted me, I think, to join the debating team and get involved in spouting my opinion.
Yep. All right. Let's see here. Tracy Chapman and talking about a revolution.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds. People gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, I've been standing in the welfare lines, crying to the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. And finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution.
So, Nicole, you didn't actually go off and start a revolution, but you were part of change, mainly because of discrimination?
I didn't protest formally or take any action other than just having a really big loud voice and letting everyone know what my thoughts were. Ensuring that we're all treated equally. Yep. And just an acknowledgement, I guess, of social structure and becoming aware of that and unpaid work, which a lot of the time fell on women, especially then.
Yep.
I suppose learning about the world and telling everyone what I thought about it.
Righto. Daryl Braithwaite, the horses now. We're going to talk about horses in a few minutes, but obviously horses have played a big part in your life.
Absolutely. I think I was so lucky to be able to have contact with horses as a child, growing up in what is the suburbs, really.
At what age did you get your first horse?
13.
Gee, that's young.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to Daryl Braithwaite and horses.
Where the cold wind blows. the people that she knows. And if the situation should keep us separated, you know the world won't fall apart. And you will free the beautiful bird that's caught inside your heart.
Mention to any of you, if you've missed this broadcast, the last 40 minutes or something, that there will be a podcast go up next week of Nicole and all about her life that we've been talking about. So have a listen to it, and certainly you'll learn a lot more about Nicole if you missed it. Nicole, I like to ask the really hard questions here. What was the first car you bought?
A Laser hatchback.
Fair digger.
Mm-hmm. First car I bought.
Was it any good?
I tell you what, it was bright yellow, and that meant that it was cheaper to insure. That was probably the best part of it. That
because
was
it was a bright yellow, it was cheaper.
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah. All right. Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. Tell me why.
I remember when I was working for the pharmaceutical company and the realisation that, oh, I get up and do this every single day? What, there's more and more? And actually it's not just 9 to 5. There are trips, there are conferences. It was a busy life. It was a good life for a young person, but it was busy.
And a company car.
And a company car, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's listen to Dolly Parton, 9 to 5.
Thank you. and stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5, for service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. You're in the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and we're talking to Nicole Slingsby about her life. We know that she's now set up a business in Healesville where she does wills. You can either go to her office or you can, she will come and see you, which is a bit different. But Nicole, we've been talking quite a bit about things that have had an influence on your life, and everywhere we go, horses seem to come into it. So obviously, was there something, like you said, you got your first horse at 13, but prior to that, what actually generated your interest in horses in the very first instance as a young girl?
I had a best friend at school,
right,
who I met in grade prep.
Right.
And yeah, she was horse mad.
But you weren't at that stage?
I think I already probably was, because I just loved animals, any animal.
Yeah.
And that grew together. And then because we had horses over the back fence where I lived, and so did she, wherever we were, whoever's house we were at, we were able to go and play with the horses or interact with them. And, of course, all we wanted to do was ride horses.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
All right. Temptations, My Girl.
Mm.
What? How did this make the call? What's this bring back?
This brings back holding each of my three daughters when they were little babies.
Yep.
And I was besotted with them then. I'm besotted with them now.
Yeah. They might not like to hear you say that. we're not at the end of the show yet, but we are getting there very quickly, and time has gone very quickly. Nicole, if I was to package you up, or I don't know how to actually put this, but a couple of words that would put Nicole. I'm struggling for how to put it. But anyway, I would say that there are two things that drives Nicole. First of all, it's service, and that's one of the reasons why I think you've started your own business, so that you can give the sort of service that you want. And the other thing, and I may be wrong on this, but and I'm going to see what you think. And the other thing was that you've got a fairly deep commitment to social justice. Am I right on both those?
Yeah, I do think that you're right on that. I don't like to see injustice. I don't think I actively pursue finding social justice or finding social injustice yep. and trying to offer help. But when I do see it, when it comes upon me, I'm very quick.
You're not frightened to say it.
To take the reins.
The Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. How did this get in?
That was really when I moved to Healesville, and I felt like that really reminds me of that change in my life when I came to this new town with a beautiful community who scooped me up and gave me this lovely life, you know.
Sounds great. Let's listen to it. So Nicole was obviously got a sense of music because she's bouncing around to all these songs. And Nicole, how long have you been in Healesville?
Coming up to just over 10 years now, I think.
So what what sort of area, we don't need to know the extra place, what sort of area we're living in prior to Healesville?
Still a semi-country type zone. Right.
So it wasn't in the city or anything like that?
No.
So what made you pick Healesville?
I picked Healesville because it was a tighter-knit, I say community, I didn't know what the community was like then,
yep.
But everything was within, you know, 4 or 5 kilometres.
Yep.
You can get everything you need in Healesville without having to travel too far, so I felt that was pretty easy.
And obviously you must have a bit of space because I'll bet you I own a horse.
I sure do. I've got two.
You got two horses?
We have two, I should say. They're not both mine.
Nicole, we've got to go, unfortunately. The 3 o'clock news is just about with us, and Greg Carroll will be on with the Oz Indie Show. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being part of Choice Tunes, and we wish you well in the future.
Thank you very much for having me, Alan.
No worries. Thanks, Nicole.